There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 to get through, and you'll need that this hour because the legislative session in review, something like that. We're doing it with this man. Good to get him in studio. District 101 Representative and Speaker Pro Tem of the House. It's our friend Chris Pringle. Good to see you.
Sean, good to be here. And hello to my sweet mother and my beautiful wife, Laura.
Hey, y'all. By the way, too, can we just, if you weren't sitting here, I would tell the listeners what you and I were just talking about. Y'all, so I get, so Speaker Pro Tem knows where I live. I don't have a mailbox. I live out in the country. Yeah. You've been to my house. Okay. I get my mail at work and deliveries at work. Amazon delivered two boxes, the big boxes, in the would you say that's at least 12 feet from the door of FM Talk 106.5?
Oh, easy.
They were just in the lobby of the building where this radio station is. They just dropped them off and left. And then I got a picture from them showing me that they were there. So I guess as long as they're inside the confines of the building, I guess that's...
I guess so. Hey, let me talk. I'll talk about this because you just reminded me. I had a bill this year I'm working with because, you know, I build hunting camps.
Yep.
So I'm in the woods a lot. And I will call for a delivery of material into a rural area. And I've had delivery trucks 8, 9, 10 miles away from me when they Google that 911 mm-hmm. address. So I have a bill that allows ALEA and the 911 board to share information to try and improve that if you call 911 and you're in the rural camp, like where you live,
mm-hmm.
making sure that the emergency trucks can actually locate you based mm-hmm. on that 911 address.
Because it's a problem because like where I do have an address, but that's up above an easement. It's another mile back to the house.
It's a big problem. People don't realize in the rural areas, trying to get emergency services are, Amazon.
So do you think it'll tighten it? If you put those two, it'll...
Yeah,
get it more exact.
And 911 does a really good job of locating where you are,
mm-hmm.
but they have a hard time trying to decide what emergency organization to dispatch to you.
Right.
Volunteer fire department, what ambulance, what law enforcement agency. So that's the reason why we're trying to get ALEA, because ALEA has an incredible system where they can track you and dispatch people.
How hard is that? Is it just merge files, or is it?
Well, it's kind of interesting. The more you dig into it, you know, if you Google has one, and then Amazon might have another. It just depends on which mapping server, MapQuest or Google.
Oh, listen, I can tell you stories that people I've had deliveries, the food deliveries. Yep. One time I'd been gone for a while, and I walked around the house. I said, "Man, something must have got under the porch and died or something." And I realized somebody had ordered. They thought you've been there, so it's not like I'm a regular neighbor. They had delivered a bunch of ground meat that had sat out for like 5 days in the summertime on the front porch there. It was something. Or people they show up to say, hey, we got a delivery for so-and-so. I'm like, I've never met that person. So
exactly.
They've got, so they can't find me. They can't find the person they're supposed to find. They find me. Yeah, what if I have the big heart attack, man.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's one thing I can get on the phone and talk the driver in to deliver a load of wood or whatever. But, you know, when somebody's dying of a heart attack and the ambulance goes 3 or 4 miles away, that's when it becomes a real problem.
And it's not like we don't have, that's, I guess, what you're saying. The information is there. It's not like, hey, let's go invent a new wheel. It's there. Let's share it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to coordinate between
them. What would be the pushback on that?
You talk to the state Senate.
We can.
I couldn't get it through the Senate.
I just, sometimes I wonder, we watch here when y'all are in session, and we wonder sometimes why some things are opposed. You know, and other things get through, which we're going to talk about. But, I mean, some things are like, I don't know where the opposition's coming from.
It's not so much opposition to that bill. It's just trying to find somebody to marshal one through. Or, you know, it just gets caught up in that mad dash at the end where, you know, you have certain senators that will just lock down and filibuster for days and just block everything. And then when the filibuster finally goes away, you know, you've stacked up this big pile mm-hmm. of bills, and they just can't get to all of them.
So I'm going to play naive citizen, voter, constituent. Mm-hmm. And then you can play what the real world's like. I say this every year. I give y'all hell. I'm like, I sure wish, because the way my world works is, like I've always told my kids, like, you don't get to ice a cake you don't bake. You don't get to, you know, you do. Why don't you go in there and get budgets done? And then everything else can happen afterwards.
Well, you know, the education budget was, what, $9.7 billion? It's huge.
Yeah. And the biggest in record.
And the general fund was almost $4 billion. I mean, they're big documents. And we don't.
But y'all are meeting, because y'all will meet before session starts. Y'all are all going up there, you're meeting, you're doing. It's not like all this is new information.
No, but you have to remember. The ETF started in the Senate this year. So
remind folks, some years it's the House, some years it's the Senate.
And, you know, the chairman in the Senate didn't want to pass it early because he had a bunch of bills he wanted to pass and he wanted to make
sure. Aha, so it's leverage.
Everything is political.
So would have to be a CA or something that would say, y'all got to pass ETF and general fund before you can get to any of the other stuff you want to do.
It's already been done.
Then why is it not being...
It's called the Budget Isolation Resolution.
Yeah, well, is it BIR? Yeah, but yeah. I mean, but you're not always in BIR.
The BIR doesn't go away until the budget's passed.
Yeah, it's a motivator for it, but still there's bills that are passed before the budgets are.
That's because we passed the BIR.
Yeah.
One of the first votes we cast was a BIR vote to suspend the Constitution to bring the bill up on the floor. And the BIR was put in by Five James to force us to do the budgets first. And the budgets are still done at the end. The budgets will always be done at the end. It's our primary responsibility is to pass the budgets. And it takes a lot of work to get those budgets put together. I'm telling you. I'm not on the committees. I've never served on the budget committee.
But I serve on every other backside committee.
But that's okay. I mean, you know, you kind of pick your avenue, and mm-hmm. mine's been kind of a different avenue. I'm kind of the geek that likes to look at government function.
Now you truly are.
Yeah, well.
I'll give you that. I mean, we talk about redistricting, and you go through the day I thought I understood what was going on, then you and I sat down, and I went, oh, I understood 1/100th of what was going on in that. All right. That's always been my beef with it. And then we get these bills here at the end, too, that it seems, once again, as a voter, as a citizen, that these bills get a lot of talk, but they're not gonna make it. Even I, and I've been doing this long enough, but I can look at it and go, that's not gonna make it. It's not. People talk great about it, but it's not gonna get voted on. Not gonna get through.
It's you have to understand, when our founding fathers created this form of government, there are 9 steps that absolutely have to occur before a bill becomes a law. And there are a million things in between that can trip it up. You know, it's not. And when I tell people this, they kind of look at me like they're shocked. That process is not designed to accomplish anything. The Constitution tells us we are to appropriate the funds of the state of Alabama and do whatever else we deem necessary. And what people have to understand, what we think is important today, that needs to be addressed today, will it stand the test of time? Because once we pass that law, it doesn't go away.
I know.
It stays. That's the reason I was able to repeal 350 laws, because at some point in time, somebody in the legislature said, we need a law that says you can't sell a chicken after dark in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And thank God they were looking out for us.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the process is very cumbersome. It's very unwieldy. You've got 140 cooks in the kitchen, and everybody wants to put their little ingredient into the recipe. And it's just very difficult at times, particularly when you're dealing with money, because everybody's got their hand out and everybody wants part of it. So you have to work your way through this process to get the money appropriated through the budgets. That's the reason why it takes so long.
All right, we're coming right back. Get your questions on the text line and the phone line, 251-343-0106. Speaker pro tem of the Alabama House of Representatives, District 101, Representative Chris Sprinkle.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 121 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. Our guest, Speaker Pro Tem of the Alabama House of Representatives, District 101 Representative Chris Sprinkle, and hopefully you do. I started thinking about that. If that information's out there, the merging of what Aaliyah has along with the 911, that's, I mean, any of y'all live in the country, you know it's well, I'm looking at this. Like, yeah, I mean, okay, he said, regarding 911 calls, this is Chris in Orange Beach. My brother's working in Selma. He calls me one day in Foley and says, go to the house now. Something's wrong with, he gives somebody's name here. He said, I get to the house. She's laid out on the kitchen floor. I called 911, and they're wanting to know the house number where I'm at. Hell, I don't know the house number. I'm out in the yard. I'm out at the mailbox. Finally, 911 caller says, got you on satellite, and then I hear a fire truck coming off of my cell phone.
Yeah.
So that's the technology.
But we had to pass a bill this year that AI is going to track from the time you call 911, how long it takes them to answer the phone, and then how long it takes them to dispatch an emergency vehicle to you. Because I'm not going to name the city, but it's the capital of the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Either they don't answer the phone, or sometimes they won't dispatch.
At 911.
They won't dispatch. They just don't send anybody. I mean, it's a terrible problem in the capital city.
I mean, that's public safety. And everyone's talking about that's public safety.
They fought us tooth and nail on that bill to make them increase the number of police officers they have, and they said it was wrong. We went home without passing the bill, and what, 4 people were killed and 7 more were shot in Montgomery this weekend alone? It's a shooting gallery up there. I don't stay in Montgomery. That's how unsafe it is. We have to actually pay extra state troopers to go to the area of town where we stay around the hotels and the restaurants where they have the receptions for us. We actually send extra police officers down there while we're in session just to provide protection for us. It's so dangerous there.
I've been told where I used to stay, on the recommendation of, he has now passed, one of the senior legislators from our area in Baldwin County. He used to tell me, say, John, you stay over there at the Red Roof Inn. They got a good deal. And I used to stay over there, and that's where I used to stay and felt okay, but that's been 10, 12 years ago.
That place is horrible now, and it's sad because it went down. That whole area of town's gone down.
Okay, I want to go to this text here from Heath, and this makes sense because I want to talk about some local bills. Heath says, when will the lawmakers of Alabama secure our rights in Alabama waters? Why has another session come and gone with no help from lawmakers on Big Creek Lake?
Well, that's being litigated right now. So we're going to let the courts litigate, because that's an interesting argument, you know, that the state owns Big Creek, which runs basically under the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But Malls owns the lake itself and all the land surrounding the lake. So
they let's go back. They own the land. There's no question in my mind. They own the land surrounding the lake where they have title and deed to that. But the water is a navigable waterway. And as according to DCNR, the state opinion.
The state owns it. And if you could drive a boat from south to north, you could go. But the dam stops you, so you have to get out of the boat and cross their property. No. I mean, it's an interesting legal argument.
Well, it's the one I was looking at. And, you know, I said to the folks on the air when this was happening, I know this from growing up, figuring out float trips, you know, and maybe some places that you could or could not go in the Mobile Tensaw Delta to go catch white perch. But they accessed from a public roadway that had legal right-of-way, put the kayak in the water, and floated. into it without touching the bank. To me, this is a super interesting case here because it looks like there's not a violation in it.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, the courts are going to decide it. But you know, I'm worried right now. I've kind of branched off from that. I tried to preserve that 7,000 acres they own around that lake, trying to protect it from development. And at first, I was going to put a conservation easement, a carbon capture easement on it. But there's already a gopher tortoise easement on it. So they wouldn't take it as a carbon capture easement unless all 7,000 acres. And then the Howells Ferry Road and there's a 40-acre block that I was going to exclude. If you don't put all of it and it's not contiguous, they won't take it. I'm like, you're getting 7,000 acres. You're giving up 43. What are you worried about?
It is
ridiculous. So at the end, I finally was able to draft a bill. I got it introduced that says any construction permit that's pulled on Maul's land, it has to be voted on by, if it's in the county commission has to approve the permit. It's not just regular through the permitting process. The elected officials can deny it. If it's part of the city of Mobile, the city council has to vote on it. Or if it's part of, say, Sims, and the Sims city council has to vote on it. That way you at least have input from elected officials who represent the people that can, you know.
You're saying if, for some reason, Maul's wanted to develop that property.
Exactly. Any permit they get would have to be voted on by elected officials.
So you drafted this. Will you refile this next year?
Oh, yeah. I put it in the hopper just to let people read it because it got in too late. But, you know, the other problem I started, like Snow Road. Snow Road cuts through some of that Maul's land.
Mm-hmm.
Snow Road's going to have to be widened one day. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah. And while you're at it, please widen Airport from Snow West, too.
Yeah.
I know that's on the pay as you go.
And if it's in an easement, conservation easement, then you've got to go to Washington and get permission and jump through all these hoops and do all kinds of stuff. But this way, the county would widen it. The county commission would approve the construction permits on it. Or if they need to put a power line easement across it. But this way, if they're trying to build a country club or a golf course.
That could happen.
Then you've got some elected officials that are saying,
it would be obviously because underlying it, county commission, so it's in Mobile County, but then you pointed out the portions that would be inside the municipality of Mobile and Sims.
Or either or, yeah.
Because they both have that overlays.
Yeah, they would have to approve it. I'm trying to protect the land. Because I told them at Maul's, they said, we have no intention of developing, none whatsoever. I said, well, that's fine. That's great. But what happens?
Then you'd have no problem with putting this in then.
Exactly. Because it's not you today. But what happens about the person that replaces the person that replaces the person that replaces you? Changes their mind. I'm trying to put something in place that keeps that land protected in perpetuity.
Oh, I mean, I would say if we're talking about what would threaten the drinking water supply, which is what Maul's has talked about, and not that invasive species aren't real things, and they've dealt with giant salvinia, and I think there's ways to mitigate this. But I'll tell you what right now is runoff be pretty bad for the watershed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, to say, I mean, if you're engaged in protecting it from all these possible things, shouldn't you protect from possible development?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do is find a way to protect that land from future development. And if you put some elected officials that have to be accountable to the public, because Maul's board is not really accountable to the public.
Yep.
You know, they're appointed by the city council, but they don't really answer to the general
public. I guess the council has the ability to remove somebody from it?
The Mobile City Council makes those appointments.
Makes the appointments, but do they have the retraction ability as well? I don't know if I've ever seen it happen.
Because, you know, I passed HB 220 this year that allowed appointing officials like the Speaker and the Pro Tem of the Senate and the Governor to remove people that they've appointed to boards. Because we have a problem with people. We're appointing them to these boards. They're not showing up.
Or
they're not doing their job.
Or some of them on some of these things in North Alabama, they were stealing money.
Exactly. And we had no way to remove them. So I put a bill in that says, no.
How do we put the thing without the removal? Why do you have to come back all these years later and put that in?
I call it legislative whack-a-mole. These problems pop up, and we have to take care of them.
Coming right back, more with Chris Sprinkle right here on Midday Mobile.
This This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, which, like I've said, you can do your own survey. Stop at a traffic light. Look at the number of stickers from LCM on vehicles. Or look at the parking lot here at work. People love what you do. And you've been doing it. I don't want to say you're old, but you're old. You've been doing it a long time, man.
Oh, my Lord. pushing 40 years. I can't even count that high. I was sitting, when I was in high school, everybody said, what are you going to do when you graduate? You know, my brother, my dad, and all of them mess with cars. I said, well, I'm going to sell cars. And they all kind of laughed at me. Well,
yes.
Here we are almost 40 years later, and I'm laughing at myself.
Well, I mean, it's good, though. I mean, but, like, I'm such a fan of yours and buy and sell vehicles with you because you're, like, you're very efficient at doing the thing. People say, well, I could probably figure it out on my own. Maybe, but you don't know all the pitfalls. You've saved me from pitfalls right and left. You make sure that, like, hey, this is a good vehicle. I mean, I just trust you.
Well, and I appreciate that. And it's the same thing that you do, Sean. I mean, I could come over there and start pushing buttons and have dead air because I don't know what I'm doing. But you've been doing it forever. You yeah. come here and you start pushing buttons and you're going to have a bad car. And, you know, we don't get everything right every time. But after you do it for so long, you do learn the ins and outs and everything. It's just like any business. It's just my business.
Yeah. You know? Well, you're good at it. So if people are looking for a vehicle, and like I've said, this, you know, even if there's not one on the lot that's for them, which there's a bunch on it, you'll go find that vehicle that's just right for us. So tell them how to get in touch with you with the web or come in to buy in person.
Yeah, if you're out and about and you want to come by and see us in person, that's the best way. We've got everything here, and if you're looking for something in particular we don't have, we can look for it while you're here. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We are at the third red light on the corner. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. You can text us from the website. You can ask us if we can help you find something from the website. You can get a credit approval from the website, anything you need.
Thank you, David. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right, there he goes. And continue our conversation with Chris Pringle, District 101 Representative, Speaker Pro Tem of the Alabama House, and a man that got me thinking, like every time you come in here, like it hurts my brain because like I know something at some level and then I learn more things, which by the way, Josh says on the text line, so the council can appoint but can't remove per state statute. So that's what you're...
I'm not sure on the city council. I have to look at that. But we ran into that in Montgomery where speaker appointments and pro tem and lieutenant governor gubernatorial appointments, we couldn't remove them for board.
Can you imagine that? Like you hire somebody and once you hire them, like, you can't get rid of them. Like, they're just doing like in The Sopranos where they'd sit out on the job site with a tanning mirror and sit there. Yeah. You know, they were on the job. You couldn't fire them. Let's see. This one from Adam said, Sean, I'm very interested in knowing how Representative Pringle feels about the Stockton Solar Farm.
I agree with the people out there. They don't need it. They need to study that. I can't remember that bill passed or not, but
it did not.
It did not. I think so. It probably died up in the Senate, like
yeah, right there at the right there
right at the end. Like
okay, and speaking of that, so that brings me into PSC. Yeah. So other things we'll come back to, but the PSC thing. It comes out of nowhere at first, at least from a citizen's perspective. Came out of nowhere
from a legislator's perspective.
Yes. Okay. As well,
they just appeared.
And I'm sorry, this makes people, I don't care, makes people mad, being sold that George Soros was going to come take over the PSC in Alabama. I don't buy it. I have more worries about what we do intrastate than somebody coming in from outside. The fact that it was reported on 15 years ago that our rates per watt and all that were higher than, I'm not talking about people up in New York or California or something, I'm talking about people in Georgia, man. Yeah. And we're paying more. And I've been asking that question for a long time. Maybe I'm just too hayseed to understand it, but I'm like, why? Just show me why we pay more. Okay, so then that goes on. Then this bill comes through, so we're going to fix it. Instead of electing the people, we're going to just go ahead and appoint them. And then that got changed. And by the end of it, I feel worse off with the PSC of the future now than I did with the one we had before.
When I first saw the bill, taking it from elected to appointed, I looked at, I mean, I, leadership meeting, I said, did nobody learn their lesson from when we tried to make the school board from elected to appointed? I said, granted, nobody knows who's on the Public Service Commission. They can't tell you what they do. But you
and
tell
that
the
is
voters
the fault. And I said that on there. Representative, I said, we the people need to do a better job. And I interview those folks on the show. Yeah. I put them on here. We need to be more engaged. Yes, that sword has two sides. You need to do a better job as a voter, making sure you get the right person in the PSC. But that doesn't equal, therefore you don't get to vote on them.
You take the people's right to vote away from them, they get very angry.
I mean, look at me. I'm teed off.
And it's, I don't know who actually came up with the bill, but you know, the interesting part of it was 40 states have an appointed board, 10 states have an elected.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? 10 states have the highest utility rates.
The ones that are elected.
Exactly.
Okay. That was thrown at me, too. Yeah. Okay. So, but you, and I said, but you have a mechanism.
Yeah.
That is true. But at least we have a mechanism to change that if it's elected.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, everybody on the PSC right now is appointed. And they're all live in one congressional district.
Yeah, point that out to people.
Live in the 4th congressional district. They're all.
And why is that? Inside politics.
Because they're appointed.
Right? And people know the person up there.
Who gets appointed, yeah. So it just, the governor appoints them, and everybody, just different governors have appointed different members. You know, Jeremy Oden, who's a friend of mine, I served in the House with him. He served with Robert Bentley when Bentley became governor. Bentley put Jeremy Oden on. And of course, you know, Cynthia Allman was a House member, and the governor put her on. And Beaker replaced his father,
but
who was actually elected.
So, and y'all to understand what Chris is saying, though, it's an elected position, but when those seats have gone empty, there have been appointments there waiting
for an
election. Yeah, so I turned that around, actually, when it was thrown at me that, these other states, the 40 states that have an appointed board have lower rates. I said, well, we have an appointed board right now, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, nobody's going to argue that the Public Service Commission is not broken, you know.
It's broken. Like I showed you that the front end of that Forerunner in the woods where I broke the ball joint yesterday. That thing's broken, but I don't fix it by putting an explosive charge in it and destroying it or turning it into something else, right? I fix it by getting a new ball joint, a new upper on there, and fixing it. You take this, where this, you know, supermajority Republican state, in doing this, we had more people to government and an executive branch oversight that can override the people that would be in the elected positions, right? Well, the energies are for
five of the seven members of the PSC can override that person.
Yeah. Five of seven may not agree on what day Christmas is either, you know?
We've gotten it to, it's now going to be seven members. They're now going to be elected. It's going to phase in. I think that provision will probably be challenged in court and see what the court.
On what grounds?
I'm not sure that an executive office an executive appointee can control elected officials.
I like it. I'm just trying to understand what the law is.
There's separation.
I want it challenged.
There's some separation of power issues.
Good.
But as I was telling you more off air, the way that bill's written, the seven congressional districts as they currently exist will have to be used in perpetuity. They don't change.
This is back to that whack-a-mole thing, so it wasn't thought through.
That was a Senate amendment. They put it on, and they agreed with the Democrats that put the amendment on the bill that said, we're going to use these seven districts, and they're never going to change. And the second district, Shamari Figgers District and Terry Sewell's district, by 2030, we predict each one of them will be between 60 and 70,000 people underpopulated. And if we can't adjust the populations, then those two districts are going to have a disproportionate representation on the Public Service Commission. And, you know, it's a Reynolds v. Sims violation of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. It'll go to court.
I mean, this is coming from the man that does the redistricting work. And you know, when you're talking during the news break, I went, oh, yeah. So y'all picture this, the way I understand it, and you correct me, that so with the bill, we snapshot as of 2026, the seven congressional districts. We know down here they've been changed, y'all. So they will be changed as per census data and all that be changed in the future. But the law wasn't written that way. It keeps the old lines of the seven. Now you have population changes and you have less more representation.
You can't adjust for it.
Because they're going to be underpopulated. I don't like the whole bill as it is, but couldn't you put a sentence in that says, as per the congressional districts in a given year, federal congressional districts, as per goes PSC.
I'm going to say this delicately. Every time we send a bill to the Senate and it comes back, it's a lot worse than what we send it up there is. So you have to make a decision. If we amend it and send it back up there, how bad are they going to make it and send it back to us? So sometimes you just have to take what you get, knowing that it's flawed and knowing it's going to go to court.
You're sitting here, you know it's going to court, which exactly. is going to, I mean, I'll make an argument. It's going to cost the citizens of Alabama money.
I hate to tell you this, but we see bills all the time where they're going to wind up challenging court.
You know that there's get budget office to say not only is it going to cost this to implement these things, but the future court costs are going to be this.
I've often wondered, there are a few members of the legislature I would love to run the numbers on the bills they've passed and how much it's cost us to defend their bills.
You got it, and are you Chicken Little when you're telling them beforehand, say this is going to happen? Been here, I do this, I run the numbers. This, hey, Representative so and so, whatever you are, this bill. Do you know that here's the follow on consequences of this?
It just falls on deaf ears in the Senate. I know it's frustrating.
Yeah,
I tell people this. The process is not what people think it is. It's very different. I've never voted for a bill that I agreed with 100%, and some of them had my name on it because I had to accept amendments. But those amendments didn't fundamentally change the bill. They just put stuff in there that I didn't particularly like.
I understand. That's regular people.
It's a give and take up there. It's like marriage,
Yes.
But
there's a certain point. To stay with that analogy, you say, okay, I can't pass this bill. Yeah. I get it. And I tell people all the time that, too, looking at Washington, I'm like, nothing's perfect. Heck, I don't agree with myself 100% all the time. So, but there is a number, a percentage where you go, I'm out. I can't.
It's 140 cooks in the kitchen adding their own little stuff to the recipe.
All right, coming right back. More with Chris Sprinkle right here at FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. Call or text.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. Our guest, Alabama House Speaker Pro Tem, District 101, Representative Chris Pringle. Local bills here. I mean, we talked some about the Big Creek Lake issue, which is interesting. Once again, if people didn't hear it earlier, your idea here you brought up, it didn't make it through this year, but it's to say that the put it in your it's what for the land around Big Creek Lake owned by Maws, you would,
in order to keep it pristine and undeveloped, any construction permit Maws tries to pull would have to be voted on by the governing body, whether it's the county commission or the city council of the area that property falls under.
Therefore, the people in a republic would have their chance to elect a person that would put their two cents in.
The voters would have a say because they're elected officials that have to approve it or deny it.
There you go.
So,
other local bills. Let's talk about that.
Well, we passed another TIF, that tax increment district, financing district.
How they work? What's that layman's term?
You know, like downtown Mobile, we have those TIFs, and that's the reason downtown's so clean now, where the weeds are all gone. You don't have weeds growing everywhere anymore. And there's one for Tillman's Corner and I think Crichton. So
in the district TIF, somebody wants to invest in there, right?
Yeah, the businesses pay a little extra money. So they go in and clean up and beautify and make sure buildings aren't just abandoned and weeds growing everywhere.
That's good.
Yeah, it's helped out.
Because, they always talk about the broken window theory of law enforcement. I think the fixed window is also true the other way.
Yeah.
Because I would look at that, I'm thinking, would I want to buy a house down there? And once one or two people in an area start fixing up those houses, I go, it might be. I might need to. I could do that.
It's not so bad, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
Another one that Senator Figures and I carried is Industrial Development Board. The City of Mobile allows them to go in and develop housing projects. You know, we've got 15,000 jobs coming to Mobile, and we need housing stock. You know, you start moving people in, you've got to find housing for them. Kind of like they did in World War II in the ADSCO, and they had all those people working building ships there. And the constables, we passed a bill that reduces constables to just 3 constables per house district. The probate.
How many did we have for Mobile?
There was one for every county. I mean, every voting precinct.
Yeah. It was 74 or something like that.
It's like 90.
Or 90, okay.
But not all of them are filled. But, you know, I mean, people write their names in. Then the court spends weeks and weeks trying to dig up who these people are. Are they actually real people? Do they really exist? Do they actually live in the voting precinct?
Well, I know somebody, I won't say their name, that did it as a joke. Their friends did it to their buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he ended up getting elected as constable and didn't know.
Yeah. And it's a prank. It's a real problem for the probate court. And Pritchard. You know, the new mayor of Pritchard is a very interesting lady. I mean, I wish her all the luck trying to doing what she's doing up there. We passed a bill to allow her to help get trash out of people's front yards and remove abandoned cars, much like we did. The reason why so much of Oakley Historic District's been redeveloped is we've allowed the city to go in and take property and clear title to it so that they can sell it and it can be redeveloped.
We've heard this because I know the city council had talked about this a good bit. Yeah. So
there's so much air property. That's the problem you run into is you've got property. You've got so many children born out of wedlock that have children out of wedlock, and people are dying intestate without wills. So you put a cloud on title. So nobody knows who owns the property. So you can't sell it to somebody and let them fix it up. It just sits there and falls. It falls apart. And we've passed some bills to allow the cities to step in and intervene and get that property fixed up and back on the tax rolls. And also, if property is going to be sold for back taxes, it mandates that the adjoining neighbors need to be notified. So they can, if they want to buy the property next door to them on a tax lien, they'll be notified of it. Yeah, that it's going to be sold. Now, whether they decide to buy it or not,
but that's good.
Yeah, at least the neighbors know that their property next door is going to be sold. So,
well, it's probably probably happy news for them either way if they decide to buy it or know that something better is going to happen there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good thing to get in the mailbox.
Here's the one that just stunned me when Judge Pipes brought it to us. People who are convicted of crimes that are on home arrest, you know, ankle monitors, could leave their house. And they're sitting at the jail watching these GPS trackers. Mm-hmm. At 2 o'clock in the morning, you see them leave the house, and they go to an address that, you know, it's a known drug den, and they would have to wait till the next week to go down.
Yeah, to Monday.
To get a warrant to go to get them. We passed a law that said, no, you leave that property. You're not supposed to leave during hours you're supposed to be at home. They can come get you.
Yeah, because before y'all did this, there wasn't really an ordinance, right? It was a parole violation, but not a... Yeah. There was no teeth to go in to get that.
Now it's a class 3 misdemeanor. We can go pick you up and put you in jail.
Good.
Here's one that people love. The vessels on Dog River and the River Delta, the police can no longer stop you for a safety check. They have to have probable cause. So no more just pulling up alongside, checking for life preservers. We that got completely out of control, and we hopefully put a stop to it and told them, don't do this anymore.
And the analog that we've talked about before for people to understand it, the same way you are in your vehicle, if you're driving down the road and not doing something stupid, police can't pull you over and say, well, I'm just checking your safety. You know, you have to do something
exactly.
in your vehicle to get pulled over. Same thing now applies on your boat.
Exactly. Law enforcement, I mean, Coast Guard can pull you over and do a safety check, but the law enforcement can't. You have to do something. There's a constitutional amendment, which I like. The taxable... To be exempt from a state evaluation for your property taxes to go up, they have to have $50,000 in value rather than the 1980s, $12,000.
Well, so now it's reflecting maybe inflation.
Yeah, inflation. And what happened?
It has to jump 50 before you can have.
You have to have at least $50,000 in income for that, for that, you know, take your property. So,
okay.
You know, it was just too much. I mean, people were losing their houses. So I also want to point out, you know, we cut $1.6 billion in taxes on the citizens of this state, this quadrennium. So on tax day, I know people are upset today.
Yeah, it's not been a good day.
Believe
for me.
I just wrote some huge checks.
Yeah,
we've got $1.6 billion in state taxes in the state right now on the people.
Appreciate you coming in as always and the education we get when you're here. You come back and see me soon?
Sure will. I'm home now, so.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Chris, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Paul Feinbaum takes over next, and we'll do it again tomorrow for Midday Mobile.